Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Lamentations, chapter 5, in verse 2, he says, our inheritance and our houses are taken. I was just thinking about it in preparation for this meeting. Do you know God had promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and all the 12 tribes of Israel that he will give them the land for an everlasting inheritance? Read it in Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. God had promised to give the land of Israel as an everlasting inheritance. But look what happened now. Jeremiah is saying in verse 2, our inheritance is turned to the strangers. And our houses are given to an aliens. In other words, to people who are not belong here. In other words, God took their homes, their inheritance, and he handed it over to other people. And in this case, it is the Babylonian. Now, God is going to give the inheritance to Israel in due time, in a future day. We can see even today, in the days in which we live in, that God have already allowed the people of Israel to be restored to the land of Israel. But Israel is still today partially blinded. As a nation, they haven't accepted that Yeshua is the Messiah, and therefore Israel will have to go through a time still of dispersion before they finally will receive the blessing that God had for Israel. But now look at this, all their inheritance, all their possession was given to somebody else. Can you imagine if somebody going to come to your home and take your home, take your house, take your land, and own it, and you become homeless? Terrible experience. So all our inheritance have been turned to strangers and our houses into aliens. I just want to remind you and I, because we are believers in this present day, the Bible teaches us that we also today have an inheritance, but the inheritance of the believer in Yeshua the Messiah is not necessarily here and now on earth. But our inheritance belong to us in heaven in the presence of God. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, you are elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Now notice verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, which according to his abundance mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, but notice, reserved in heaven for you. Yours and mine as believers in the present day age of the church age of the assembly, our inheritance are not here and now on earth, but it is really in heaven. If all things will fall apart here in this world, eventually, the believer has an inheritance that is kept and reserved for us in heaven. It does not fade away. It is not temporary. It is eternal. But it's reserved for the believer of the present day in the presence of God in glory in heaven. But for Israel, our people, God gave a land. Not only physical land that he had blessed them with, but he also gave them spiritual blessing. So what we see here, that now the land of promise have been handed over to someone else. Strangers have been taking it. Notice what else happened here in verse 3. Israel became orphaned and fatherless and widows. What happened there? Well, a person who become orphaned, that means that he does not have a parents. He has no home to be. He is fatherless because his father was taken or killed. The mothers become widows. Why? Because their husbands died. In this case, the context shows us so many of the Jewish people have been killed by the Babylonians. In 586 BC, when they came and scattered the Jewish people, that many of the Jewish people became orphans, fatherless, widows. What a condition to be it. And it's always in connection with the head of the house is no longer there to lead the family. In verse 4, we read that now even their oppressors, namely the Babylonians, sell them water that belonged to the Jewish people, but the Jewish people had to pay for the water that belongs to them. Look at verse 4. We have drunken our water for money, and our wood is sold unto us. In other words, this is our land, this is our water from the streams, this is the trees that we own, but if we want to use it now, the oppressor says you have to pay in order to be able to use your very own water to drink and your very own wood. If you want to heat the house or whatever you want to do, you will have to pay for that which is yours already. In verse 5, we find out that Jeremiah is saying, our necks are under the persecution. We labor and have no rest. In other words, they were constantly persecuted by the Babylonians. See, many of them were already taken to Babylon, but some will remain and haven't yet been quite taken or destroyed or killed. They were persecuted. The persecution of the Jewish people already have been from generation to generation, as it says here in verse 5, our neck are under persecution, and we labor and labor and have no rest. En menucha, as we say it in Hebrew. In verse 6, Jeremiah continues, he says, we made a holy alliance with the godless nations because we were in so desperate condition. We have given our hand to the Egyptian and to the Assyrian to be satisfied with bread. There's no food. So we kind of connected ourselves with the unbelieving Gentile world, Gentile nation, who opposed the God of Israel because there was no food. So in order to be satisfied with the necessary food, as it says here, we have given our hand to the Egyptian and to the Assyrian. And now notice verse 7. Jeremiah is continuing admitting the fact, and really, in a sense, he's like speaking on behalf of the rest of the nation. Our fathers have sinned, and are not, they died. But we have borne their iniquities. They have sinned, and we bear the consequence of their evil doing. You know, it's like this in our life. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. When we go in the wrong direction, somehow we influence or we affect others. Maybe our children, maybe our parents, maybe our friends, maybe our families, maybe our brothers and sisters. When we go in a wrong direction, it's somehow affecting others eventually. Jeremiah is saying, look at this. And in a sense, it's almost like the younger generation later on will speak to the Lord and they will say, hey, Lord, you know, our fathers have sinned, but we are the ones that borne their iniquities. Now, we have to be careful because there are other passages that tells us in the book of Jeremiah and also in the book of Ezekiel 18, Jeremiah 31, that the children will say, our fathers ate sour grapes, and our teeth are set on edge. In other words, our parents ate wrong food, and now that's why we have teeth that are not in order. In other words, they were blaming their fathers. And God said to them, no, no, you cannot do so anymore. If your fathers sin, I'll deal with them. If you will sin, I'll deal with you. And don't blame someone else. But in the context here, the fathers who have gone wrong and disobeyed the God of Israel, eventually they have died, they'll be taken away, but the consequence came upon their children and the children born their iniquities. We continue in verse 8. Jeremiah is saying, you know, people who are servants, they're actually ruling over us. We're supposed to rule over them, but the reverse happened. Notice in verse 8, it says servants, the Hebrew word actually is avadim, slaves. Slaves have ruled over us. And there is none that does deliver us out of their hands. Now, how is it possible that the one that we should rule over, they are in turn rule over us? You know, it is only possible when God, in judgment, discipline his people. God will not allow his people to continue on in their own way and condone it and not deal with it eventually. He surely will, as he has done it among the people of Israel. And you can take this really from the book of Genesis in chapter 9 and verse 26. In the time when Noah came out of the ark, God already said to him, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And who was Canaan? Canaan was the son of Ham. Even though we read in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1 that he blessed Noah and his sons, yet you could see a little bit later on that when Noah's son Ham violated his father by looking at him as he was naked, and in turn God, through Noah, cursed Ham by actually judging his son, his descendant, by the name of Canaan. That's why he says, "And Canaan shall be his servant," namely Shem's servant. And you can see, even though God blessed all the family, yet when one of the sons of Noah disobeyed and exposed the nakedness, the shamefulness of his father, then you could see that Noah as a prophet is actually pronouncing judgment, and the blessing that God had intended to give the sons of Noah, yet he turned it into a curse, and he cursed now not directly Ham, but his son. And from there on you could see that the descendants of Ham, namely Canaan, became the servants of Shem, whom the Lord God had blessed, in the context of Lamentation chapter 5 and verse 8. And so in verse 9, Jeremiah continued to share with God, "We get bread to eat with danger for our lives." It says, "We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness." When the Jewish people who remain in the land or anywhere else around in those days, 586 BC and so on, when they were searching for bread to eat, they were trying to meet their need, they were in danger to try to find food for themselves. And finally, in verse 10, "Even their skin of their body became dark and black because of the hunger that the famine brought in those days." And I'm reading verse 10, "Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine." The famine brought about hunger that brought about a change even in the way that the skin on their body appeared. That is the consequence of God's judgment upon his own beloved nation of Israel. So Jeremiah is preparing that list, and he's presenting it before the Lord, what kind of wounds and sorrows the people of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel has experienced during the time of the Babylonian destruction on the ninth day of the month of Av, where the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. So in the fifth chapter, he began first by asking the Lord to remember. Verse 1, "Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us." Then he presented a list before the Lord in prayer, showing to him, look at our condition, look at the wounds and the sorrows that we have experienced because of your judgment upon us. And now Jeremiah, in the next verses 11 to 14, Jeremiah present to God the effect that Jerusalem have experienced because of this destruction. What it brought about in the condition of the Jewish people during those days. You know, persecution, judgment affecting our lives. It affects our children, the parents. It affects our meetings. It affects the worship of the Lord. It affecting every area of the life of God's people. And so Jeremiah is now continuing presenting before the Lord the effect that this thing have made upon all the people of Israel. And I want you to notice, beloved brothers and sisters, it affected the women. It affected the princes, the leaders. It affected the elders. It affected the young men, the young women. It affected the order in the worship and the order in the life of the people of Israel. And it affected even their joyfulness. There was no longer joy in the land of Israel. It affected every area of the Jewish life in those days. So look at that. He began in verse 11, and he shows us that Jerusalem fall affected, first of all, we see here the women are mentioned. You know what the Babylonian did to the Jewish women in those days? It says here in verse 11, they, this is the Babylonian, ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Many of the women were raped. Here the word is ravished. The Hebrew word is enu. La'anot, to ravish, is to abuse the women. And as it says here, the maidens, the word for maids is the Hebrew word betulot, virgins. You see what happened? The evil treatment by the enemies of Israel, that they have taken the women and they actually ravished the women in Zion, and the maids in the city of Judah, they raped them and treated them in an evil way. Can you imagine what's going on even in the world today when any dictator or any evil man fight against a group of people, what they do to the women, how they treat them, and how that affects the rest of their lives? That's what they did. They ravished the women in Zion, in Zion. That's speaking about Yerushalayim. And the maids in the cities of Judah, all the cities in an area that belong to Yehuda, to the tribe of Judah, they have gone from place to place, from house to house, from corner to corner, and they ravish the women in Zion. The wicked treatment of the Jewish women in those days. But it's not only the Jewish women. Look what happened to the princes. It says in verse 12, the princes are hung up by their hand. In other words, what did they do to the princes, to the leaders, some of the princes in Israel? They hung them. Just yesterday in our Bible class on the book of Galatians, we read in Galatians chapter 3 how the Messiah was hanging on a tree. And the apostle Shaul Paul referred to the book of Deuteronomy, and he quoted in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 and 23. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hangeth is accursed to God. In other words, what these Babylonians do to the princes in Yehuda and in Zion, they have killed them and hung them. And it was like a testimony, you might say, to their evil doing. You know, similarly, we think about what the Romans did some 2,000 years ago in the days where Yeshua was upon the face of this earth, when somebody had gone against the Roman authority, they would crucify him and place him on a shameful cross. And of course, sadly, they took Jesus, the Messiah, who sinned not. the perfect Lamb of God. And they place him on a shameful cross, on a tree. Cursed is a man that hangeth on a tree. And you know, beloved brothers and sisters, he, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, was hanging on a tree not because of any sin that he committed. He was hanging on a tree for the sins that you and I have committed. He became a curse on our behalf. God judged him so you and I will never need it to be judged. But you can see what these men have done to the Israeli princes. They hung them up by their hand. And you can see them as a display of shame, a curse, that they have done this to these princes of Israel. So the women were raped. The princes were killed and hung on a tree. But then we read, not only this, the elders of Israel were not honored. The elders of Israel, the Zkenim, who are supposed to be honored and respected, they treated them in an evil way, in a shameful way. We are to honor the elders. They are to honor the older men and to treat them for their age with respect and care. But no, they have hung the princess, the younger one, and they have not honored the elders. In fact, they put them to shame. So you see how it affected every area in the life of the people of Israel. Now notice what happened to the young ones in verse 13 of Lamentation chapter 5. The effect upon the young one of Israel, they became slaves. It says here in this verse 13, they took the young men to grind and the children fell under the wood. In other words, the young people of Judah, the young men, they took them to grind, to work. It was like they became slaves. And the children could not bear to be able to continue, so they fell under the wood. They could not continue to do so. They were crushed. They were not able to continue on. It affected the young people as well. And now notice in verses 14 and 15, look what we read about the order and the joyless experience that they have had during those days. It says in verses 14 and 15, the elders have ceased from the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our hearts is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. So the elders are no longer going to the gate. The gate is the place where the elders meet. The council of the people of Israel, right by the gates in the city of Jerusalem and in any other gates in Judea, in Israel. And the elders are counseling together and giving instruction to the people of Israel. But they are no longer going there because the gates are destroyed. And the elders no longer can continue to lead the people of Israel because Israel were in a state of confusion, destruction. And they have been taken captive by the Babylonians. Can you imagine if we don't have the leaders counsel and give advice to us so we can continue on to walk here in this world? No, no, no. The elders, they cease from the gate. They no longer went to the gate with the time to give counsel and to meet together. And you notice that the young men ceased from their music. Couldn't sing anymore. It says here, the young men ceased from music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. And you know, beloved brothers and sisters, I'm repeating it many times. But I will repeat it one more time with respect to what happened to the people of Judah during the time of the Babylonian captivities. Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willow in the midst thereof. There in Babylon, by the rivers, they that carried us away captive, this is the Babylonian, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us a mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. And look what they said. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They couldn't sing. As we read here in Lamentation chapter 5 and verse 14b, the young men cease for music. Verse 15 said, the joy of our heart is ceased, our dance is turned into mourning. They could not sing anymore. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We read in the same Psalm 137 that they made a decision later on. They said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishakach yemini, they said. If I not remember thee, this is Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. This is Psalm 137, verses 1 to 6. You see, they could not sing. And why they couldn't sing? Because they were under the captivity of the Babylonian. And why they were under the captivity of the Babylonian? Because they disobeyed the Lord. They violated the word of God, and God in judgment allowed the Babylonian to take them captive. And so there's no more song. There's no more dance. No more joy. No more celebration. How could you? How can one celebrate when his heart is heavy? His father might have been killed. His mother might have been raped. His daughter must have been treated evilly. How can you sing? You can't. And knowing that we disobeyed the Lord and the Lord came upon them in judgment. So verses 11 to 15, beloved brothers and sisters, Jeremiah present to God the effect that the destruction of Jerusalem made upon the whole Jewish society.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.